Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Business 101, guys. I am your host, Big Bap. And today we're going to get into a beautiful conversation and a wonderful discussion about a topic that I think is near and dear to everyone's heart. We are live on location in the beautiful scenic view of Pembroke Pines, Florida. I have my co-host on the line as well. She is residing from the great city of Killeen, Texas. And this is your host and co-host of Business 101.
Hello.
Guys, things are shifting. Welcome. Welcome, Miss Kalisha, Miss CJ, better known on the Big Bap of Friends show as our other show co-host. We had an amazing show Sunday, did we not?
We did.
Before we get into the proceedings of this show, let's recap that show a little bit before we move forward and get into our main topic, because we had a wonderful young lady on the show, Miss Sandra Rose, and I must say, not only did I learn so much talking to her, but her presence on the show was just so enlightening.
That it was.
What was your highlight of that show and having her on? What was the highlight for you?
First off, her energy was just amazing, amazing, amazing energy. But she has me thinking and, like, asking questions now about purchasing different things.
Because here's what I teach, Kalisha. One of the things I teach when I do my business mentorship is when you start a business, you start a business with a niche market in mind, but you grow your business with world aspirations. You get it?
Correct.
And she gave us so many different vantage points to look at from a business aspect and from growing our brand aspect that I just left there and I was just amazed and I was just floored at who she was. One thing, guys, she has a book out. If you have not been on DJ's Roundtable, if you have not reached out to the Roundtable Family Production, please, on all of our platforms, go look at Sunday's night information and go find her book. Man, listen, when I tell you, the title of the book alone is going to have you floored. Is it not, Kalisha?
It is. I was like, well, I need that book for myself. She's like, it's a children's
and
book.
You can find it. Her name is Sandra Rose. Go on Amazon today, purchase it, and in the comment section, tell them Big Bap sent you in your review. Let them know, hey, Big Bap told you to go get that book. We want you to go get that book. That book should be a part of your family's catalog. It is a book for young black girls. That by far was probably the most moving point of that interview, is when I realized she had a book for young black girls. And in the name, she addresses the young black girls as queens. I love it. I love it. So let's move on because we have things to get to, guys. All the information is there. The replay link is on Spotify. Just type in Big Bap and Friends and you can go ahead and catch that. As always, we have to do our promotions before we get into what we have to do for the day. So let me go ahead and give you our still biggest promotion is we do have two tickets for $400 for both days to Jazz in the Gardens. They're premium aisle seating. So if you go pull up Jazz in the Gardens and look up premium seats, you'll see where the premium section is. And then look at the aisle section. It's off-centered. So the off-center aisle section, you'll be sitting there. And they retail at a total of $463. We're going to resell them at $400 just so you guys can get that discount and we don't take a total loss, because I'm not in the business of taking a total loss. All right? So let's do this, Kalisha. Let me ask you a couple of questions, because I know you as a young lady are in the process and in the stewardship of building your business and building your brand. And one of the things I teach when building a brand is you shouldn't walk away from income in a business until you reach a certain threshold to operate and run said business. So, Kalisha, in learning that principle, you are still teetering in between the entrepreneurship market and the employee market. And as we've gone through the pandemic, and we've all gone through the pandemic, and we've seen shifts in business trends, and we've seen shifts in hiring practices and firing practices, what has been the most impactful thing in the hiring and firing practices in your brand, in your industry, and your employership? What has been the biggest button topic for you?
Right now, everyone is concerned about safety.
Oh, safety.
And when you say safety, is concerned about safety.
When you say safety, let's drill down safety, because safety is such a vague topic. Safety encompasses so many different things when you talk about safety. What specific safety factors are they looking at right now?
Right now, specifically, everybody's main concern, honestly, is still COVID.
COVID. That is the number one button issue, not just in your city, not just in your state, not just in your country, but that is a global concern. See, I'm going to give you guys a little background first, because background is important. It met all the criteria from a national and global standpoint to be considered a worldwide pandemic. Those aren't made up words. They have definitions. You can go Google them. You don't got a dictionary in your home. Listen, black folks, I'm not just going to say this for black folks. I'm going to say this to all people. I'm going to give you three books that should be a requirement in your house before you buy a Bible.
You said three books.
Three books that you should have in your house before you purchase a Bible. Number one, you should have a modern-day dictionary. Number two, you should have a modern-day thesaurus. You should have a modern-day antonyms and synonyms. Those are three different books, and they're not the same.
No, they're not. For people who wrote words.
For people who be like, well, I mean, I bought the dictionary. That's great. For those who bought the thesaurus, that's great. For those who just bought the antonyms and synonyms book, that's great. But all three are important. Kalisha, let me ask you a question, because we're gonna get deep on this podcast now. We're not gonna play no more. Okay?
Okay.
When we started building your business, before we began to write your business plan, which we're currently now doing, right?
Right.
You spent a year in training, mentorship and coaching, owning a business legally on paper, correct?
Correct.
Understanding, and I tell people, it doesn't matter what area of expertise that you deal with or you come from, there's still some level of training that goes with it. The reason why I believe in training, the first business that I became a part of when I decided to drop out of college was a training business. The very, very first business I strategically joined, Advantage Training Group of Florida. Owned and operated by a beautiful teacher. Her name is Bonnie Nichols. She teaches College of Miami-Dade, Kaiser University, all over the United States, currently based out of Orlando. She's corporate trained for Lockheed Martin, Disney, several major defense companies. Her specialization is HR because the human resource is your most valuable asset to your company. If you don't believe your human resources are the most valuable asset to your company, why do you think COVID has devastated industries around the world? It is a global pandemic. Why do you think the CDC, the FDA, the World Health Organization, Cambridge, Massachusetts, Miami, Chapel Hill, Stanford, all of these people are partnering in research to get a understanding as quickly as they can on what COVID is and what COVID isn't. Because when it decimated us, all they knew is that it had similarity traits as the influenza. And they tracked it all the way back to the Spanish flu. And if you go look at the date on that, that was over 100 years ago. All the information and all the data and all the things that happened throughout the world, they all started off the same. But as we understand, the Spanish flu and COVID are not the same things. If you don't believe that they understood what COVID has been, COVID has been around since the beginning of time, because if you go look at a Lysol can, COVID was on there before COVID was. How do you have a word for something that you can't describe? Understand, it's been here, but it's also different because laboratories do scientific studies, and there are people out here who are also messy and also do things to weaponize it. So we must also look at things from both perspectives, because I tell Kalisha, there is no good with no bad.
Yes, truth.
There is no bad with no good, because if you don't have one, you cannot recognize the other. You cannot recognize pain if you don't understand pleasure. You cannot understand heat if you don't understand cold. You cannot understand breathing air if you can't breathe. That's why the scientific community is important, because it's their job to test, understand, and educate to the best of its ability with the ethical standards guidelined by its federal government, its state governments, its local municipalities, and its private vested interest sector. So when you understand that if you're going to talk about something, it is important to give a due diligence of its background, history, and or culture, so you can understand that all parties coming to the table must be of like mind and understanding that this is our standpoint, this is the precipice, and this is the belief factors that we shall come from. And if we believe in those factors, and we are those factors, and we live those factors, then we should be able to ethically, honorably, and articulately be able to put those factors into circulation. And we should be able to teach those factors to the rest of the world. The problem is greed and corruption. And they both play a factor. There are companies, there are agents, and there are people who are designed to work against your communities, your people, and your whatever, because at the end of the day, ultimately, it lines their pocket. And then instead of these big organizations and these companies having true regulation in place to ensure the safety of its people, they will do dastardly things to ensure the capabilities to be able to line their pocket. Although the effort stems from a wonderful idea and a beautiful conception, there are people who have nothing but peace in their heart, and everything that they do is to help better edify and fortify its common man. There are still people, you go read your Bible and you believe in that, it says there are agents of change among us. Does it not?
It say that in there.
If you are Muslim, in your Quran, it teaches about agents of change in the Quran. Taoism and Taoism talks about agents of change. Catholicism talks about agents of change. See, the goal is not to turn it into fear-mongering. The goal is to educate. The goal is to ensure that each of our peers, as they sit across some tables to negotiate contracts of employment, contracts of ownership, contracts of purchase, contracts of educational advancement, contracts of inclusion, contracts of whatever it is that you're trying to build within your community and your app, and give your people access to not only generational wealth, but health, the pursuit of overall happiness in life. If those are what you're acquiring and those are the things that your mind is steadfast on and focused on, you must understand in businesses you have four things that contribute to the growth and the deterrent of your business. And they are not just how much money you make and how much money you lose, but there are, it's what's called a SWOT analysis, and every business should do one, and every business must have a business plan around it. And it is called your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats. But what great businesses do, like Facebook, they spend most of their time focusing on their opportunities and their threats, because most businesses grow their business from a fear-based model. I must look at what's attacking me, and I must attack it first, instead of understanding that there's open space and open dialogue for all of us if we build strategically and we help our brother across the aisle. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter about corporate espionage and this and that, because there's always going to be change, and there's always going to be the direction of change. The only thing that's standing still is still water, and still water is called stagnant, and stagnant attracts levels of death, and death acquires level of predator and prey, and then you get it. There's a life expectancy for stagnant. Let me bring Kalisha back in here, because let's talk a little bit about COVID. See, y'all didn't just want to hear me preach today. I know y'all didn't just want to hear me preach today.
I mean, you wasn't lying.
So let me ask you, Kalisha, as you're going out here and you are working in the career field, how serious do you, on a scale of 1 to 10, in your community, let's not focus on your business or any of your employers. On a scale of 1 to 10, what has been the low point of the seriousness in your community, and what has been the high point? So give me what zero has looked like in some of your communities and businesses, And what has 10 looked like in your community and businesses?
I mean, can you repeat or rephrase the question?
So let's look at it from this standpoint. Instead of saying what has or hasn't happened, right, for business, because most people like to focus on what has and hasn't happened, right? But let's focus on what has happened. So during the height of COVID, when the highest rules and the highest regulations was in place, what did the highest rules and the highest regulations look like for you? Because I'll tell you what it looked like for me. I'll go first. For me, in Florida, in Palm Beach, Broward, Miami-Dade, Tri-County area, because I worked there. I worked as far south as Miami-Dade before COVID happened and as far north as Port St. Lucie. That was my area of working district, and as far east as the county of Okeechobee. So that's the area that I have worked in with a bicycle. Now, I want you to understand, that's over 100-mile radius, a couple hundred, 200-mile radius that I'm covering on a bicycle on any given morning.
Good Lord.
Because I haven't owned a car since 2008. And so
good Lord.
The first thing that happened when it truly hit its height for us, they shut down the entire county. They activated the National Guard because I'm a licensed armed security guard, and I travel at night a lot of times with an armed gun. I had to get a letter from the governor that said I was authorized to move. We had a curfew in place. I mean, it was strict at the height of it. At the highest of heights, that's what I did. That's what I had to endure. I had to ensure that everything, all of my documentation had to be of the state, of the Department of Agriculture, da-da-da-da-da. You know, we go on with the whosos and the whatevers and dotting our T's and crossing our I's. But for me, they buttoned down the hatch, and they told me, they gave me the term mission essential. I still ain't got no paycheck for mission essential because I know when I was in the military, we got hazardous pay for being considered mission essential from the federal government, but I didn't get a paycheck. I don't know if you got one, but I didn't. I didn't get no extra bonus pay. I didn't get
hazardous
pay. I didn't get any of that.
None of that.
Okay, because I just wanted to make sure I wasn't crazy because they didn't bless me with nothing extra. But they made me mission essential, and they damn near told me I was on 24-hour rotation if need be.
I worked in a different field, so they actually laid me off. They told me that my job was not essential. So I got sent home.
Okay. So first off, we got two different extremes of 10. So I was told, bitch, you are essential. Get your ass out there, and you better go pay for you some PPE with this money we done gave you. That's basically how they told me. Now you go.
Yeah, no, it was, I'm sorry, due to different things of that nature, your job is not essential. They gave me the information to contact unemployment, and that was that. I didn't hear from them again. They didn't hear from me again. That was it.
Oh, bitch, go home.
That was it. As far as the community went, everybody had their masks on. We definitely had a curfew. Because even the stores were closing early. They were only allowing, like, so many people in at a time. Like, it was a lot of different – they had a lot of different rules and regulations. But since it's calmed down, like, it's almost – it's outside of the split of should we or should we not wear a mask. It's pretty much back to normal.
So generally, for the most part, everybody is almost functioning now. So – at the peak of the pandemic for you, it was pretty much the same here. You know, store. I mean, when you start seeing South Florida stores closing at sunset, you know, it's a, because South Florida is almost like New York. This bitch don't sleep. Something going on. It's something. Listen, you can go somewhere in South Florida and there's something going on. You may be asleep. Your street may be quiet. but South Florida, somewhere along the coastal line of Florida, there is something going on somewhere. So when I'm told that I'm still going to work, people, you already know, Kalisha, what was the first thing I told you to do when the pandemic happened? What was the very first thing I told you to do?
Listen, you gave me a list. I needed to seclude myself. I needed to clean down, bleach down everything. You told me to go buy. You told me exactly what bleach to go buy.
I said, until you understand what's going on, when you go to work or go out the house, you take everything off. You put that in the trash bag. You separate every time you go out the house versus what's in the house. Until they tell us what's going on, you're going to treat this like germ warfare. Is that not what I told you?
That is what you said.
And he was like, what? I said, because right now they don't know, so we don't know.
I remember that, coming through the garage. That was funny.
It was funny, but we were doing it because we still had family members in our house that we had to protect. And I tell people this every day. I went to work every single day during the pandemic, and I mean every single day. And I still effectively did my job. They told people not to take IDs. I took IDs. Why? Because I went about Clorox wipes myself. Not that cheap shit y'all be buying. I went about the microbial, you know, the scientific study. You got to get that one
right.
From, you got to go to the health aid store to go get those, you know, the ones the hospitals like to use, the cleaning kind, the real cleaning kind. And
it's
everybody's
thinking,
that was handy, it got wiped down because I wiped it down in front of them, put it on the machine, wiped it off again, and then handed it back to them. Because their safety was the most paramount. So you know what I did when I started realizing the company that I was working for was not only was it not taking the employee safety seriously, it didn't take its client's safety serious. So I started my own business. Because if we're going to talk business 101, we have to actually look at the people who took their client, their business, their friends' safety serious. For 2 years, we barely had any event. We canceled everything. We canceled event after event, item after item. When safety peaked, we tried to do something. When COVID peaked, we shut it down. Did we not?
These are all true statements.
I had executive board meeting after executive board meeting, and I said, regardless of what everybody feels, masks will always be optional, but I am telling you from a standard practice of our organization, it is a requirement, is it not?
True.
I haven't allowed anyone to be on our board who doesn't believe in at least wearing a mask. Vaccinated or unvaccinated. Not that I'm against you not wearing a mask. I just need you to understand I'm wearing a mask. People forget, safety starts with you, not others. When I used to work for the federal government, right? Okay.
Right.
I had several subcontractors who worked for me. And one of the things that I had to learn how to do is I had to learn how to take American documentation and transcribe it into the language of the people that I had locally. So what I sat in my office and I did one day is I took one of my guys who actually wrote several different dialects of the Indian culture. Because what he's begin to explain to me, he goes, what you're saying doesn't make sense to those groups. The rest of these guys over here, they get it. But that group right there, you need to change the language to explain it to them. Because they're looking at you and they're shaking their head, yes. But in reality, in their response to everybody else, they're saying no. And so then we're getting to the job site, and these guys are now trying to explain it to him. Get it?
Right.
Safety is important to each individual member. He doesn't want to die on the job, so he's asking questions. Because of the fear of the language barrier, he doesn't want to look stupid in front of his peers in the group, so he's getting with the foreman. But at the end of the day, the job site is still having safety concerns because of the language barrier. So what I did was I had him transcribe it in his exact dialect. So when we were going over and reading it, he could read it in his dialect. And then it made sense to him. And for 18 months, I had an injury-free work site with 100% employee retainer rate. And I had 376 employees under my direction. All because I wrote one document in somebody else's dialect so they could understand what was being asked of them. Your employee is your most important asset to your company. And if you do not understand your employee, when you make rules and the rules don't justify the employee, then you're just making rules for the sake of making rules in your business. I'll give you an example. There's a court case going on in Oregon right now. The employee is a work-from-home employee. He doesn't meet with the staff in office. He has no desire to meet with the staff in office because everything about his job title, job description, and employment status is remote working. Right?
Right.
So if the safety of your company is not impacted by an employee not getting a vaccination, then why does the company have an 100% employee vaccination policy if you guys are not required to come in contact with each other? Now, let me be the person who comes on the end of the defense of the company first. Let me give you the company's perspective. The company is going to say that this employee is a high-value member of our employment staff, and if they're not willing to get vaccinated, even though they do not come to work, what they do in their personal life puts them at risk of not being able to function in their work capacity even outside of normal duty hours. That's going to be the business's argument. I can tell you this now. I can already tell you what their legal team is going to draft up. Just based off of employee labor law, that's where it's going to go. It's going to go there. Because what they're going to say, it's just like when everybody found out the teachers were strippers, right? And remember, everybody like,
now
fuck
the
that shit.
Them teachers are
that's, hey, what they're doing outside of their professional time still has an impact on our business. That's where they're going to argue, right? But here's where they're going. Here's where this is why science and data is going to now be fighting in the courtroom, because they're going to say, well, people like Donald, who is on record for saying, I have not been vaccinated. I have no intentions of being vaccinated. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm just making a active, conscious choice to choose not to get that vaccine. And my reasonable, plausible deniability is generally it takes 10 years of data, science, and research from the medical community to come up with an articulate and adequate explanation of if that vaccine truly either gives antibodies, destroys, or eradicates said virus. Number two, the short, medium, and long-term effects the vaccine has on the body. And number three, if you go look at all vaccines that has ever been introduced in history, before anybody has gotten behind that vaccine and said that vaccine is 100%, 98%, or truly effective, and the efficacy holds up over time, it has taken nearly a minimum of 10 years on average. What you're not going to tell me is something that has emergency authorization, not full vetted efficacy standard practices that would normally go through the FDA, the CDC, and the World Health Organization to be approved and da-da-da-da-da and recognized by all its global partners. Nobody's authorized that yet. And until you do, I can stand back and I can question what goes into my body. Because, yes, I have gotten other vaccines. I am a chef. I have cooked my entire career. I have ran kitchens. Yes, I have gotten every vaccination up under the food service panel to be able to walk into a kitchen today and cook. COVID has not been required by that standard other than for emergency authorization. And so until you tell me that it's truly safe, truly whatever, because they just pulled back authorization for the kids. Did they not?
They did.
And the baby's body is the most needing to develop body out there. So if you're telling me that it's not safe for their bodies, why would you tell me that it's still safe? Because they're saying, oh, well, now we're going to give it to the pregnant moms. That's why I tell husbands, sir, I'm a believer in the German policy. When the mom goes on maternity leave, the dad goes too. I'm a believer in that. That's why when people be like, so how are you going to build your business? It's going to be tough, and there's going to be some policies that I'm going to have in place that I just believe in, but I believe in them. I'm not fighting with the – see, the reason why I walked away from every security company that was out there, and I'm looking at the contracts that are out there, every last one of those security companies that are there, they're making millions of dollars off of being in states that they are not even – they don't even live in. So the issues that they have don't even really matter to them. And then what they tell you is my executive board is there, or I have a regional person that's there, and da-da-da. And that person ain't even from there. They just moved there because the job told them to be there. So they basically visit that place like it's a part-time home.
Yep.
But I'm talking about the people who are truly entrenched. How is it impacting the people who are truly entrenched in these communities, and people have lost money, people have lost jobs, people are on the brink of losing houses, they couldn't go to stores, we couldn't get equipment in. It affected the cargo industry. It affected the aviation industry. And now we're telling us that we got to now bring the brunt that, and now we got to go up on inflational cost of rent and things like that. And when I look around these communities, I see the cost of rent going up, but I don't see no goddamn maintenance happening. I don't see no construction going on. But guess what's going to happen on March 1st, guys? President Biden going to first talk about this war bullshit with Ukraine. Let's go ahead and get that out the way. He's going to talk about that first. Understand there's money in war. So the Republicans is all for that shit. Let's go to war. There's money in war. If you don't believe that, you ain't read a book. So we're going to go to war. We're going to get some money coming into it because now we can activate some emergency funds through that process. So Vladimir Putin ain't doing nothing but helping America raise money. Because anytime that America goes into war posture, the president, Congress, and the House and the Judiciary Committee has certain things and have certain things that they can all do to start raising American funds because America likes to be at war. We've been at war forever. We've been in the Cold War. We've been in the war on drugs. We've been on the war on crime. We've been on the war on terrorism. Bitch, all we know is war. That's why when people get mad at me, I'm like, yo, America's a fighter. Bitch, we fight. All we know how to do is go beat somebody's ass and then go back and look at them and tell you, bitch, I told you.
This is the foundation.
I told you. Listen, knuck if you buck. We are fighters. We don't, come on, man, we don't believe in quitting. Ask Texas. Texas will tell you. Listen, come down here with that if you want to, baby. With these cowboy boots on and all, I still beat that ass. We're not backing down from anything. And that's why people be like, why do you believe in the American military and might? Oh, baby, oh, it's intricate. It do some wonderful things, baby. I am a former military combat veteran, and I am a former federal government contractor and VA employee. I have been through all areas of the federal government. And when I tell you it is intricate and it is sexy, it does some wonderful things when they work together. Didn't I tell you, we've been saying that word together a lot, ain't we?
Yes, we have been. Together we can do things.
But people choose not to participate. And they say, oh, that ain't got nothing to do with me. Everything has something to do with you. Your employment status is based on everything around you. The growth of your business is based on everything around you. I'm looking at a contract right now with a company called The Avenir who needs security, but at the end of the day, they've gone up on people's rent over and over again, but nobody's given my company a security contract. And I've had conversations with property managers. I've reached out to the corporate office. I've reached out. But they have all types of security violations and risks that I can point out and show. But I can't do that for free. Because you can't give away business for free. But I can help you ensure that you don't have loss of revenue through safety violations, health organizational standard violations, and security measures, because we cover all three of those things under our insurance. Everything that you do matters. You cannot be afraid to tell people what you do. If you do it proud. Do it boastfully. Stand up for it. There's no need to cower if you believe in it. Who you are and what you are effectively matters in the United States representational pool. Why do you think people want your vote? Why do you think people try to put so much political stuff out there that you won't vote? And I tell people voting is your fundamental right and responsibility, because if you're not present at the table where people are making decisions, you're lost. And if you decide that, hey, I can't vote for either one of these idiots, then don't vote. But just understand, you don't have a representation at that whatever. Because if I gave you my vote, oh, nigga, I'm showing up at your office. See, I'm with the protesters and the ralliers. Hey, let's go. Hey, where's their office at? Yeah, I'm going to sit. Hey, listen, somebody go get the stuff. I'll cook. We're going to sit right outside their door all week. That's why I started my own media company. Roundtable Family Production. That's why we do this podcast. Because if you're going to avenge me, if you're going to hate me, if you're going to disrespect me, then I should be able to come talk to you. And I'm going to stand there until you talk to me. And if you don't talk to me, I'm going to help these numbers grow. Because it's not that I'm trying to stop you from being great. What you have to understand is if someone is not representing you, you are the fool for not going to ask them, why are you not representing me in a district that voted for you? And if you can't do it, we'll get you out of office next go round.
Right.
And I'll tell you, I'll vote for anybody that will get you out of office. And I'll join their campaign trail. And I'll be their mouthpiece just to get you out of office. So we can get people in office that represent us and look like us and represent the ideals that we should believe in. Because COVID mandates are stupid to a degree. Should it be your right to wear your mask? Yes. When sickness rates rise, should the government be able to enforce some mandates to require you to wear your mask? Yes.
Yes.
Those are both my answers. I'm not changing them. Should it be your right to wear your mask? Absolutely. Not taking that from you. Should the government see infection rate and hospitalization rates increase and put in recommendations to require mask wear? Yes. Because what people don't understand is when they put in a law, they also must also put in an end date for that law to be re-amended, re-voted on. They don't get a lifetime guarantee on something. Just like there's no lifetime appointership to nothing but like the Supreme Court. And that's because, hey, once they make a rule, them old fuckers have to sit in there and fight about that shit for forever. And then they write their appointing views and dissertations and da-da-da, and they put it back, and then people go to courts and they argue, and they argue on the dissenting view of that, and then those points become raised back into the Constitution, and people fight law and things of that nature, and cases are raised all over the United States based off the apprenticeship and the viewership of what a judicial Supreme Court judge wrote on why they wrote their dissenting view and opinion piece on that. You get it? We put a system in place to help encourage the generation coming behind us to look at it slightly different. The Constitution of the United States was written to be amended regularly. It wasn't written just to be the standing Constitution. The founding members knew that they were writing a Constitution for an imperfect union. But it's not to say we can't strive to achieve a more perfect union. I'm not going to teach a message of hate and sentimentalism. Racism is a systematic issue in the United States, and black people are still a plague of that, yes. So I'm not going to stop my fight at racism because there are institutional injustices that impinge all people. They may adversely impact black communities and certain communities moreover. But there are issues that impact all of us that are built in through the systematic racial system. So if we attack the issue, we can underline better help make it for all. That's all Martin Luther King's dream was. We can fight the issue. You should be an active community member. You should be a part of the PTA. I tell people all the time, my daughter can't go to school in any community. Because if you're telling me that I got to go wait at the principal's office before I can go up in your school, then I got a problem with you, sir. Because, listen, you can give me your security contract, and we ain't even talking about my daughter coming to your school. I see what go on at your school. I see it firsthand. I see what your board of directors are doing, public school and private. I see how kids only get afforded certain scholarships for certain things based off if they're part of a certain community or a fan club. I see it. Kalisha, your opinion on COVID mandates don't have to be mine. You understand what I'm saying?
Understood.
World. Oh, guys, we live on location. We got one of our local advertising planes flying overhead. I can't even see it. It went by. This is why I love South Florida, because you can be live on location out in the beautiful elements, and you don't know what you're going to get. It's always something. Guys, we're going to continue to bring you guys opportunities. We're going to continue to bring you guys formidable things. If you go to DJ's Roundtable, whatever platform you follow us on, there's all types of gifts, giveaways, raffles, opportunities. We're always asking that you invest in us so we can invest in you. I'm going to continue to be your media outlet for business 101 and topics that are trending in your community. All right? Hold on, I'm going to let this one go by, too, because it's the same one. It's making a circle. The joker literally just made a circle. It might be, so we live down the street from an airport, and so you have pilots who are getting their aviation license here. And so I love to go sit out and watch, because one of the things I will tell you, because you also have a test school there, we have had several planes crash. So I still like to sit out and watch.
Oh.
You know, like I said, it's live on location. You never know what you're going to get where you do it from, y'all. But in doing so, we ask that you support our media company. So if you would like to support us with anything that we have going on, you can email us at djsroundtable19@gmail.com. We have a list of shows that you can participate in. We'll start with Sunday, because we start our work week on Sunday. So Sunday is our Soulful Sunday show. That's the show that kicks off our week to get us ready for Monday. We will be having a show that will be debuting on Monday. We haven't given it a time slot yet, but we're going to be debuting a show called Halftime is Game Time. It will be our sports show. I want you guys to know that show, the principal investors to that show is a group of women, y'all. I am so happy for these young ladies. So if you want to participate in that, please reach out to the ladies and ask how you can be a part of that. Kalisha's a part of that investment pool. So, Kalisha, I just want to say, you know, thank you for spearheading that team of ladies that we're going to put that on. I am so happy to be working with you guys with that.
I'm super excited.
On Tuesdays, of course, guys, we have Business 101. That was my personal creation because I want to make sure you guys can have access to business opportunities and business information. We're going to start having some business guests come on our 11 o'clock show every Tuesday so they can start educating you guys about business. We have to get more business focused. So I'm going to be inviting some people out. We're going to try to get them live on location, and so we can actually begin to, by next season, by our sixth season of Big Bap and Friends syndicating shows, we're going to be going visual. We have been audio for the last 13 years, since 2000. It's longer than that. What year is this? Since 2008, we have been audio only. When we come back in season six, after we come back from our summer break, when we come back in season six, guys, we will be doing video as well as audio. So follow us, because we will be launching our own website over the summer season. So get ready for that. That's going to be big. So that's the Roundtable Family Production Media Company. We will be launching that website over the summer. So if you would like to donate, participate, add to what we're doing, I'll give you some more information on how you can do that later. Because we're wrapping up the show, and we're going to do our word of the day, because that is our signature from the Roundtable Family Production. We'll do that here shortly and close out the show. Wednesdays, we have our Wowers Wednesday show. That's our fun middle of the week show, Hump Day. We got Listen, if you like to throw ass, that's the show you want to watch and listen to. Listen, because the music selection on that one is ridiculous. If you listen, I don't care how you feel about it. This is my podcast. If you don't like how I present, you can get off my stuff. I ain't mad at you. But if you like to throw ass, Wednesday and Friday are the two shows that you want to do. Because Friday's show is a live on location, too, and we like to do it from a live venue. So if you want to get tickets to what we do, you definitely want to reach out to Roundtable Family Productions through djroundtable19@gmail.com and get more information about that. Because those two shows, that a lot of ass get thrown on those shows. Thursday, we will be starting here in the near future, and it's called the Resource Corner. And we're going to have all types of things from food, health, all types of things that's going to help you with your community, HUD housing programs, mental health aid and assistance programs. We're going to be looking for sponsors for that show specifically because that show is near and dear to our production manager. She is the creator of that show, the Resource Corner. So Sierra Berry Baptiste, thank you for creating that. Thank you for reaching out to all the resources that you have reached out to get that off the ground. So we will be launching that within the next coming weeks. So the Resource Corner will be debuting in the next few weeks. So we thank you for that. So if you have any resources or anything that you would like to give to us, please put that out there. All right? So, Kalisha, mask or no mask? The answer is yes. Vaccine or no vaccine? The answer is yes. I'm not telling you what to do. You can do it. Kalisha, give them a word of the day before we get up out of here. I'm not sure. We may have lost Kalisha. I'm not sure. Sometimes these things drop or do their own thing. I'm going to give the word of the day. And we're going to get out of here and take your time. As you go back out here and do things that you are used to doing and getting back into the markets and the worlds and the arenas that you are used to being in, take your time, take a moment to breathe. As Duke Ellington and Coltrane takes us out with, take your time.